8:54, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. Stage 773 on Belmont is hosting the 16th annual Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival. Here to talk about it is Paul Thomas. Thanks for coming in, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
God, you're tall.
I am tall. I'm not monster tall. 6'5" is monster. I think 6'7" starts monster.
Really?
Height? Yeah, that's kind of my
theory. You're 6'5"?
6'5". Yeah, kind of in a sweet spot.
I mean, when I see tall people, the first thing I want to do is swear. I don't know if you get that a lot.
Just frustration at genetic.
Because I want to be able to dunk.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's my thing.
But how tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
You're 5'10"? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Don't tell him what happened last time you tried to dunk.
You did, yeah.
It doesn't work, man. You can maybe put a Sunday newspaper underneath my vertical
feet.
Actually thought to make that a goal for this summer, like for a midlife crisis thing of trying to, because I haven't played basketball for like 5 years because I used to play.
Don't do it.
But just like, could I do it? And then document it. But that could just be a failure with a couple blown Achilles.
You're going to blow something out.
Yeah, something will go.
The body just gives way when you get older.
You look like Mike Dunleavy. He can dunk. Maybe that'll just transfer to you.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you got a shot like Dunleavy?
No, I don't. No, I do not.
So you quit basketball and went into comedy. Is that how it works?
Pretty much. Okay. Pretty much. That's how it goes. So for a comedian, I'm a good basketball player. And for a basketball player, I'm a good comedian.
When did you decide to go into comedy?
I was actually like 27. Yeah. I was doing the normal work stuff, and you're at a desk, and you go, oh, this is life.
This sucks. Know?
This isn't quite so creative. And then I moved to Chicago, just quit my job, moved to Chicago.
Where were you living?
I was in Bristol, Connecticut. I was working at the ESPN.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nothing like what you're doing here. I was at a desk. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you end up in Chicago, out of all places? Not New York? You were on the East Coast, not to New York, not to go to L.A.?
That's weird, because I didn't know anything about Second City, anything. And I actually just met somebody. And she's like, oh, you should do improv. And I prepped at the time, Yahooed it. I Yahooed. Like classes. Yeah. I had actually done the night before. It's a weird circumstance where I looked up, like, what is this whatever thing? And I just associated with Whose Line Is It Anyway, the improv thing, which is what it's not here.
Right.
And then just went, oh, and then my sister, I visited my sister, and her friend had a party. He said, oh, I have this apartment. I'm moving out. You want to let me in? So I just had an apartment.
So it all fell into place.
You decided to move. Other than you know, temping for a year, where you're like having ramen noodles. You're like, oh, once you move that first week, you're like, oh, I came here with a new credit card with $1,000 on it. And
ramen noodles.
Yeah.
Why do we buy ramen when we're poor? Can we buy lunch meat and bread?
Let me tell you about economics with
like
the cheapest food available.
I understand that, but ramen noodles.
Right? Yeah, I'm still digesting those, by the way. It does take 17 years to...
That's college flashback, right?
It is. I mean,
every night in college, ramen noodles.
Well, there's shrimp, there's chicken. I mean, you got a variety.
Yeah, yours. Wasn't it one flavor? Oriental as well, right? The blue package? It is called Oriental. Is it still? I'm assuming. It is. It's Oriental flavor.
We had a Spamorama this morning in the 6 o'clock hour because...
What did you say, Spamorama?
Spamorama. Okay. We had Spam in studio and we made Spam paninis. If you heat up Spam, it tastes great.
Spam panini.
Am I right?
We did. They were not bad.
Really?
The heated up ones were good.
I just like the name Spam panini. It's either a radio personality or a mafia
pretty
boss.
Pretty good.
These guys ate it raw.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, but that's crazy how just a generation doesn't know what the Spam is. Spam is email. They never had the saltiest meat product ever made. Like the can was just as thick as the meat. I'm protecting
it
from radioactive things for storage
and
nuclear bunkers.
The 16th annual Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival is happening January 5th. I'm going to have you stick around. We got to check news now. We didn't even get to all the details. So
let's talk about Spam for a while.
We'll get to the details after 9 o'clock on 720.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
907, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, live on CLTV and live on 720 WGN. Stage 773 on Belmont is hosting the 16th annual Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival. In studio with us, Paul Thomas, who we were talking to, and Brian Posen just walked in, came from your Weeblos meeting. Is that right?
That is correct.
People on CLTV can see that. Is that a Weeblos shirt you're wearing?
It is a Cub Scout, Boy Scout shirt of some sort that I picked up at a thrift store for probably $1.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good look for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I like your checkers.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the sketch festival that's happening, the Comedy Sketch Festival.
All right. Well, we're Sweet 16. This is our 16th year. The Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival happens every year. It's the first 2 weeks in January. We have 160 sketch comedy groups performing. That's about 1,000 artists. They perform 188 shows in 8 days. It's 2 weeks, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yep, every hour on the hour, there are 4 shows running simultaneously.
You're kidding.
Yep, lots of funny.
Who organized this? 1,000 performers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's
188
crazy.
Shows going all the time.
Wow.
So we did. We started this 16 years ago. We started this in one theater with 33 groups, and now it's this wonderful Lakeview beast.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I love how that little thing has
16
grown.
Years later, and here you are.
It's crazy.
And are these your friends? How did these people get involved over the years? They just is it word of mouth?
Yes, and. Okay. So it's just grown. I mean, the first couple of years, we had to really hustle and get the word out that we have a festival here, and we're hosting a sketch comedy, and even the media was talking about this improv. Well, no, this is sketch. This is written satirical vignettes, polished scenic work.
Okay.
Like Saturday Night Live, you know?
Right.
And so, but probably by year 4, then nationally, people started applying to our festival. Now we have to turn away about 150, 200 groups every year.
Good for you guys.
The protesters outside.
That's great.
There were protesters. Yes. When we had protesters, I think it was the 4th or 5th year, Kelly Leonard over at Second City said, now you're somebody.
What are they protesting?
They didn't get in. They were upset, so they were protesting. And that's great. I was like so upset. No, Kelly goes, you know what? That's a good thing.
That's good.
That means people really want to be in.
Well, they care then if you have protesters outside.
So, yeah, we haven't had protesters in a while, so hopefully one group will protest.
I'm too lazy to protest.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get a sign, then you got to walk around in the cold.
You have to write something on the sign.
Got to get some velvet ropes.
Yes, it's just too much work. It really is.
Glass it up.
How long have you two known each other?
Wow, you were there since the first year, I think.
No, I was third year, I believe. Didn't know about it the first year. Like, hey, how did I miss? Because it was like...
2000, yeah, it was the year 2000. Yeah.
But I auditioned for your thing in like 99.
My thing?
Your Cupid Players.
I remember that,
of
course.
I just came to town like my fourth week and I auditioned. The Cupid Players is... You talk about your...
We started... see, the cool thing about the festival is you could find any type of comedy there. Everything from real social political satire to just buffoonery and everything between. You have solo to groups of 15. You have all Asian groups, all Hispanic groups, all musical groups. So he's talking about a group that's all musical that I started in 1999. And they're still running. It's called the Cupid Players. We have a show called Cupid Has a Heart On that's been running 17 years over at Stage 773. So
thank you for pronouncing the T.
Yeah.
And that, I appreciate that.
That's
we're on CLTV.
The funny.
Yes, that is the funny.
Yeah. So I remember Paul.
I just come to town not knowing what an audition was or anything, and you come in there and... sing an original song, which nobody was doing. Thank you.
The life of a comedian, I feel like you can't be rich and be a comedian. You have to struggle so you can write jokes about your life. Am I right? Do you know any rich comedians starting out?
No. Oh, you mean the New York City stand-up scene? Yeah, I went there. Yeah, where people have time to go out every night and do stand-up while somebody pays their bills. That's a different city, though.
Really?
In Chicago, we struggle.
They have sugar daddies for comedians in New York?
There's some trust fund kids who do stand-up. But
I would hate the hecklers. That would make me cry. I know most comedians love them.
Well, sketch, I tell you what, with sketch, that's a different beast. Because stand-up, you're talking to an audience. With sketch, if you have somebody who's shouting, it's just it's you can't necessarily address them, and it's a little trickier.
Yeah.
Do you watch SNL?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, who's your favorite character on SNL right now?
I don't so much. I don't have time, but Alex Moffat from Chicago is on the cast this season. He's a friend of mine.
Okay.
And
how about Kate McKinnon?
Everything I see her in, she's just
the best.
She is phenomenal. Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, with the character, she does her character so well. Yeah. When you guys do characters, how long do you practice? Because I feel like she probably spends hours practicing.
Oh, you could keep... I mean, you look at Alan Arkin. He would have, like... 8 characters when he was on Second City stage, and he would take these characters and just keep working them and putting them in different ages and different accents and different, you know, time zones. But he would keep, you can work a character. I know we do that. My friend Jill does that. She'll grab onto a character and just work it to death until you're like, Jill, please, enough. But she'll work it for months and months and months, and then she'll get it, she'll write something with it, and she'll throw away and start working on the next character. So it's not like a couple hours in front of the mirror. You just keep working their phrases needs and their wants and their ideas and who they are and their idiosyncrasies and their gestures. But you keep working it and working it, you know.
And usually, usually for every sketch comedian, probably at least minimum a third of your characters are just imitations of family members. Because all of us can do that. That's that. And you're like, wow, that's an amazing character. You're like, this is in my body.
Yeah. You're satirizing. Okay, you know that guy, the South Side guy? You know, that's where George went to Bears. You know, that's that guy. And he would keep playing, you know, there's that kind of a wonderful 2.5-dimensional character. That's delicious. Let's grab that guy. And then I know that guy, you know.
So we work more than ourselves.
You know, it's who are the prevalent people in your life and in the community now. Yeah.
We all get into something because we look up to somebody in the business. I mean, we all have people in radio we looked up to. How about you guys? Who'd you look up to in comedy?
I grew up on Monty Python, Carol Burnett. I mean, even, I shouldn't say, but Show of Shows I used to watch, you know, all that. I mean, I was the Monty Python generation, you know.
Yeah, I think the SNL, Phil Hartman.
But
just for joke, Stephen Wright. I remember seeing Stephen Wright for the first time, just from a joke writing perspective, and just like, oh, that's a thing, you know. Just in, even you know that with the one liner and being dry. And when he came out, I just watched something on YouTube yesterday. Like, I think it was Carson. His first Carson had to really explain him to the audience before he came out. Like, this guy's going to be different. This guy's whatever. He's new. And you're like, wow, that had to be said.
I feel like when they do that, it's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
It's either going to be a train wreck or super funny. Yeah, either way, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, but that's Stephen Wright's the best.
And you brought up Carol Burnett. Everybody loves Carol Burnett. What is it with Carol?
The show was on 11 years.
Yeah.
11 years with that many millions of people.
I saw her at the Chicago Theater earlier. It was earlier this year when she had the shows. Uh-huh. She was so awesome. But the great thing about her, she didn't even really do, she did a little bit of a monologue and then basically took questions from the audience. Which, I mean, she just mastered it. She could take anything.
She's the kindest, sweetest, nicest person. She's smart. She's clean. She's just lovely. She has a wonderful range. She's a great comedian. You who you are emulates from the stage or from the little picture tube, you know. And she's just, you know, you feel that from her. And she's just having such a wonderful time with her cohorts, you know. And you play with them.
Right.
People live vicariously through the artist, you know. And you live vicariously through her and Harvey Korman and Tim Conway and then just messing around on stage.
Vicki Lawrence. The chemistry they had. But the funniest part is when they'd crack up.
Yeah.
You'd want to see that. Do you guys do that on stage? Do you have moments where, oh, my God, I'm going to start to lose it here?
I take pride in no, but I have my little techniques for just biting the side of my, because there's some stuff that just hits every show. You're like, this one thing, it just cracks me up that we're even doing it. And so you just have to prep yourself.
Right.
But
you really can't, but sometimes when you're playing with Tim Sasko, it's hard not to.
John C. Reilly, Chicago guy, Brother Rice, graduated from high school with Brother Rice. He came in the studio and he talked about Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell. Uh-huh. They had a contest to see who could crack each other up. That scene when they're talking about the baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they just let the cameras roll. And the first one to crack up loses. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be laughing on stage. I couldn't last. I crack up no matter what.
I have a term for it. I call it fallowning. I just call it fallowning. Yeah. I'm trying to get verb into the
I think as a performer,
hemisphere.
That's really selfish. I really do, because you're there for the audience and to entertain the audience. I'm not telling you, Carol Burnett, we want to watch Tim Conway break up Harvey Korman. Yeah. But you know what? When these people are paying to see this, you want to get your most who's
get
on
it going
first
to be
and
funny.
Perfect. And you know,
because
you're
allowed
one crack up. That's it. You can break once and it has, but that's it.
People can see it if you just like barely smirk just in an eye. They start laughing more because people pick that up.
Somehow
and then it just starts
to
snowball.
But it robs them because they're going with your journey. So suspension of disbelief. They're in your little world and these are the characters and this is happening and they're buying into it and they want to see what happens with the characters and what happens with the story and all that stuff. And so
we have to suffer.
But you do when you do a performance like with Cupid Has a Heart on.
Yes.
We've been doing this for 17 years, and some of the numbers in it have been that long, so we got to keep it fresh. And sometimes you get the giggles a little bit when you're messing around or trying to fix or improve it a little bit and keep it fresh. But you gotta honor the audience. These people that have all driven in from Schaumburg, found parking,
yep,
picked the restaurant to eat at beforehand, and investing their evening in you. So you better
we honor you.
Yeah.
Does it drive you nuts though when people say skit?
Oh, yeah,
I can't
skit.
Wait to see this great new skit.
Oh yeah,
skit or
doing
scene.
The skits on the circuits on the circuit.
Jeez. You know, it's fine.
But I think there should be skit fest though. I've always wanted to do that. Like, if you did get rejected from sketch fest, it's because you probably do have skits. So it's just down the block. It's just skit fest. It's just
Paul
a little
Thomas,
minor league.
Paul Thomas.
Yeah. I actually want to call a group skit fest, and they actually it's just office people, and they keep cracking up in their scenes.
That's pretty funny.
They're terrible.
Stage 773 is at Belmont and Racine. Uh-huh. Don't park in the BP parking lot. There's some parking in BP. You can't do
no,
that.
No, yeah. No. Have you been towed?
Oh. I have, yes.
We have valet. We have valet, and there's parking. If you search within a couple block radius, you'll find
parking. It's a great theater. I've been there many times.
Oh, good.
Thursday, January 5th, where can they get information?
ChicagoSketchFest.com.
Okay. ChicagoSketchFest.com. Brian Posen, Paul Thomas, great to see you guys. Good luck.
Thank you for having us on the show.